What's up, what's up, what's up? How's everybody doing? Everybody good? Come on, come on. Hey, listen, incredibly special day today. First off, before we dive in, can we give it up for everybody watching online right now? So glad you're watching. And hey, today we are celebrating 8 people in our college who are graduating today. And so we are fired up for those guys. Can we give it up for them today? Come on. And so since we're doing that, we're live in Arab and in Jasper. We're doing it across all 3 campuses. We wanted all of our campuses to be a part of all these students graduating because everybody is a part of that. And so I'm really, really excited about it. Before we dive in, I just want to just talk about the elephant in the room. What in the world just happened with the alarm? Can I just go ahead and throw this out there to you? Listen, it blows my mind that nobody moved. Everybody just kept on worshiping like... everybody, whoa, I just trust those guys. I really think we had way too much fog. So it's like a Motley Crue concert. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I will say this, your kids had the greatest fire drill that ever took place just now. They were out of here in 2 minutes, and that's the honest truth. So they're back now, we got it covered, we're ready to go. Firemen showed up, it's all good. They went back to the station, started eating some grub, it's all good. I had some guy walk up to me and he said, by the way, for us older people, we can't tell the difference between the fire alarm and the music. It all sounds the same to us. I was like, come on. So then I had another guy walk up and say, you gonna preach on hell today? What are you gonna do? What you got? That's a good message. Anyway, that's good. So Arab, Jasper, our alarms went off here. It was crazy. It's never happened in 2 years being here almost. Hey, listen, I am so excited that we have the opportunity to celebrate these students today. They've worked incredibly hard. If there's anybody here that doesn't think this is a real college, you can ask these students, they'll tell you it's the real deal. We go through Portland Bible College. We have real teachers that are just challenging them like crazy. They will tell you they're not easy. It's no give-me's. It is a hard deal, and they have worked their tails off, spent long hours doing everything they can to make the grade and learning how to be leaders and being practical, learning practical things about church and serving inside the church while they go and learn academics. And so I'm incredibly proud of these guys. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to our college administrator. Can we give it up for Jeannie Helton, who has done an absolutely incredible job with our students, and she's going to take it from here.
Can everyone join me in thanking Pastor Andy, though? Without his vision, his leadership, and his heartbeat for the next generation, Desperation College would not exist. And I also just want to take a moment and thank our faculty and our staff for your hard work, your sacrifice, your dedication, and most of all, just for loving these students. And I also want to thank every single one of you in this room, those online and those at our campuses. Thank you for your prayer and for your generosity. Without it, we would not have the resources and the ability to equip and empower the next generation of leaders. So thank you so much. And we are so excited to be graduating our students today. These students represent all 3 of our campuses and also both of our programs. And today, our students that are graduating from our full-time traditional program will be receiving an advanced certificate of ministry leadership. Also, these students have completed everything and are on track to receive a certificate of theology from Portland Bible College, which is extremely exciting for them. And students in our part-time evening program will be receiving a certificate of ministry leadership today. And students in either program, when they have graduated with a 3.5 or higher GPA, they will be graduating with honors. And so we are excited to be able to honor them today. And all these students have acquired a deeper biblical understanding. They've actively participated in hands-on ministry training, and they have grown so much, and we've seen it. Throughout all these 4 semesters, they've grown in leadership and outstanding character. And again, we cannot wait. And it is my honor to award them their certificates this morning. So graduates, if you will please rise and make your way to the stage. Our first student graduating is Jordan Acock, Advanced Certificate of Ministry Leadership. Crystal Bridges, Certificate of Ministry Leadership with Honors. Ellery Brown, Certificate of Ministry Leadership with Honors. Kaylee Chambers, Certificate of Ministry Leadership. Trent Dodson, Advanced Certificate of Ministry Leadership with Honors. Trent has also been placed in a full-time ministry position. Tyler Fikes, Advanced Certificate of Ministry Leadership. Tyler has also been placed in an externship position with Cross Church in Houma, Louisiana. Jared Latham, Certificate of Ministry Leadership with Honors. And Justin Schubert, Certificate of Ministry Leadership. Justin has also been placed in full-time workplace ministry. Can we give all of our graduates just one more round of applause?
Come on, come on. Hey, here's what I want us to do as a church body, and right there, Jasper, Arab, wherever you're at. Hey, can we just stand right now and pray over each one of these students right here? Let's just reach our hands out if you feel comfortable doing that. Just reach our hands out and just ask God to bless them, pour their spirit out on them, and just ask God to use them in large, large ways. Father, we love you. God, I thank you for this first crop of students that we've had graduate from this college. God, I pray in Jesus' name, all the dreams that you've stirred up inside of them, whether it's in the business place, whether it's on the mission field, whether it's in full-time or part-time ministry, that God, it would come alive, and that God, you would use the things that they've learned here at Desperation College to enhance what God, what you want to do through them and in them. God, I thank you for them. I pray you bless them, pour your spirit out on them, anoint them, use them for your glory, use them for your honor. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you, Jesus, for all these students in your precious and holy name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, can we give it up for these guys and girls? Come on, come on. So proud of you. So proud of you. Well, here's what we got today. Thank you, brother. Here's what we got. Since we got our graduates graduating today, I felt like it'd be a great opportunity to talk to all graduates today. If you are here today and you are you're graduating from college, maybe you're graduating from high school, you're a kindergarten graduate, which is weird if you're a kindergarten graduate. Somebody just raise their hand. What's up, girl? Listen, would you look, I know it's going to be a little awkward. You might feel weird, but just because we want to recognize you, if you're here today and you're graduating somewhere, would you please stand up so we can recognize you? Jasper, Arab, y'all stand up. Come on, Desperation. Let's celebrate these seniors right here. Come on, come on. Fired up for you. So glad God is going to use you guys. You can have a seat. Listen, we're doing our series called Home Improvement. And I felt like today, since we're talking to college graduates in high school, I really want to talk to all students. I want to talk to the younger generation here today. I want to talk to those who are maybe still with your parents, maybe you're not with your parents, just the younger generation. Some way, form, or fashion, if you're here and you're young, I'm speaking to you. Now, if you're 85, you're probably not young, or you might feel young at heart, but your skin says otherwise. Listen, that was not nice. Listen, I look 85. When I wave twice because my arm shakes and my hand. It's all good. Listen, I really want to give you some wisdom. I want to challenge you today, and I'm hoping and praying that you'll listen to me. And really, the wisdom that I'm going to give you today does not come from me. It comes from Ecclesiastes. It comes from Solomon. Solomon was known as one of the wisest men who has ever walked the face of this earth. And if there is a man on this earth, no matter what generation he has came from, who is known as the wisest man on earth, I still think we can learn from him. All right, there's a lot of things we can learn. Not only that, I mean, he's got a whole book in the Bible, which I would step out and say that's probably more important, all right? But if Solomon, the wisest man on earth, has wrote a book in the Bible, I think there's something we can learn from. And to be honest with you, he wrote the book to the younger generation. He wrote the book to young people. And so if you're here today and you are in the younger generation realm, all right, or if you feel young, just listen, all right? Because I really think God can speak to all of us through this. Now, listen, I just want to challenge you. If you're here today and you're graduating, don't stop your learning experience with a certificate or with a diploma. Don't stop today. Learners or leaders? A lot of people say readers or leaders, which I agree. I think you need to read, but I'm going to go a step further, okay? I personally believe that learners are leaders. Listen, I am not the greatest reader in the world. I can barely read Dr. Seuss. And when I do read Dr. Seuss, there's like 3 or 4 pages and I'm done because I'm trying to figure out what in the world he's saying in his poetry. All right? But the big picture is that I will get on the phone and I will call people that are doing it better than me and ask 4,000 questions in about 3 minutes because I want to learn from other people. And so what I would say is if you're here today, and you're especially if you're young, and I think this really goes for all of us in the room today. Listen, if you, all of us in this room need to be a teachable person. Teachable people are a humble people. Know-it-alls are not humble people. If you're here today and you think you got this plethora of knowledge that everybody comes needs to come to you and get their info, you're probably not somebody we want to hang out with because you're probably a very prideful person and not very nice at all anyway. But the people who are humble enough to say, I still want to learn, will go places that a lot of people won't go. So don't ever, one of the most dangerous things you could ever do, students and adults alike, one of the most dangerous things that anybody in this place could ever do is get into the place to where we think we've learned enough in life and just live off of what we already know. It's not good. Always learn. Always learn. Always learn. Whether it be through asking questions, whether it be reading books, whether it be through whatever, always learn, okay? Now listen, I want us to learn something today from the wisest man on earth. Listen, you can tell that Solomon, who was David's son, Solomon was apparently incredibly brilliant. Here's how I know Solomon was brilliant. Because Solomon was the wisest man on earth, but he was incredibly smart. He was deep in the things that he knew about life. He was very, very deep, but he could explain it in simple terms. People who have depth in their thought process, depth in who they are, but yet can explain it simple, in my opinion, are very brilliant people. And so I believe Solomon's brilliant because he explains very simply what life is about. And so I want to challenge the young people and everybody in this place today with the words of Solomon, all right? Now, while these words might be a little depressing for some people in the house, I really believe it's going to be helpful for other people. So anybody that's AARP in the house today, senior adults, I just want to let you know it may not bless you as much as it will the other people, but we're going to have fun with it, all right? So let me explain to you, why did Solomon write this book? Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes at the end of his life. The wisest man on earth, at the end of his life, wrote Ecclesiastes and basically says that he has done everything under the sun. And at the end of his life, he writes down what everything he had ever done, what the final outcome was. And this is what he says. Everything that I have done in my younger years, I have worked hard. I have played hard. I have chased the pleasures of this world. I have read books. I have studied books. I've got libraries, a plethora of libraries. I have built great houses. I've got the 7 wonders of the world in the area of gardens. Solomon had great power and he had great wealth. He had everything everybody in this world probably dreams of, some way, form, or fashion. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, let's learn from Solomon. Solomon says that at the end of his life, that all of it's meaningless. Don't mean a thing. Well, that just blesses my heart. Thanks, brother. Listen, but what he does say is that all of that is meaningless. Not unless you have God at the center of it. God should be the center of everything that we do. He should be the center of working hard. Jesus should be the center of playing hard. Jesus should be the center of chasing after pleasures. Jesus should be the center of when we read and study books. Jesus should be the center of every single detail of our lives. And so he's done everything that everybody in this room probably dreams of some way, form, or fashion, but he gives us some real wise, simple words at the end of his life. This is what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 9 through 10. Remember, he wrote the whole book for young people. So he addresses them personally at the very end. Maybe he don't call you by name, but he says, young people, Verse 9, young people, it's wonderful to be young. All the older folks in the house said, what? Okay, nobody wants to say, that's what I was wanting to say, was like, say amen. I'll say amen. I'm getting old and saggy. It's all good. Listen, it is wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. He's saying, hey, enjoy life. It's great to be young. Enjoy every minute. Do everything you want to do. He's giving you permission to enjoy life. He's giving you permission to do what you want to do. Take it all in, baby. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry. I ain't got time to worry. Your life is way too short to worry, and it will steal away the things God wants to do in your life when you worry. And keep your body healthy. If you worry and you don't keep your body healthy, you will not be on this earth long enough to do the things that God wants you to do. He says, but remember that youth with a whole life before you is meaningless. In other words, what he's really saying is, but remember that just youth in and of itself without no purpose is completely meaningless. He's saying that in the middle of your younger years, in the middle of your youth, remember your Creator. How do I know that? Because that's what he says, verses 12 all the way through verse 11. And, I mean, verses 1 through 12 in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. This is what he says next. Basically what he's saying is, let me go and say this. He said, enjoy. Enjoy your life, young people. Enjoy your life by making good decisions. Don't worry. Worry will suck the enjoyment out of life, which will keep you from being prepared and purposeful. Keep healthy so you can do the things you enjoy longer. You know, there's a lot of people that think that what you do while you're young doesn't really matter. But what you do when you're young, it really does matter. Listen, enjoy life now, but don't do anything physically, morally, and spiritually that will prevent you from enjoying life as you grow old. In other words, don't live with regret. Some of us who are older have regrets in our life. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross that covers my past. But there's a lot of us that didn't live for Jesus when we were younger, and we realize the importance of living for Jesus now, and we wish we could just get in a time machine and start all over again, but we can't. So all we can do now is to pour our guts into and our heart and our soul and our energy into the younger generation and say, don't make the same mistake I made. Go out, live out Jesus today, now. Make good decisions. Enjoy life. Do everything you want to do, but put Jesus at the center of it. Listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. It says, don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Listen, while you're young, there's so much going on. It's all around you. It is exciting. It is, listen, I know a lot of you who are young, like, man, it's not very exciting. I'm playing Fortnite every night. I'm going on social media, and, you know, I'm doing such and such. Man. Listen, I want to tell you something right now. When you get older, you'll realize, and it's hard to explain this to the younger generation. You're living out the best years, some of the best years of your life. I think every year, every season of life is phenomenal if you have a right attitude. But where you're at now, you've got a great opportunity to do great things. We're coming to that in just a second. I don't need to get ahead of myself. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor Him. Honor Him in your youth. Remember Him, young people. Wisest man on earth says to honor Him, remember Him in your youth before you grow old and say life is not pleasant anymore. Listen, here's what I need you to understand, young people in the house. In your youth, you are more passionate about the things of life. You're more prone to take risk. You know, if you was to ask a lot of senior adults, they say that that they've gone and asked senior adults who are up in age, if you could go back in life and do things different, if there's anything you could change in your life, what would it be? And 80 to 90% of senior adults will say, I wish I'd have took more risk. I wish I'd have took more risk. And so what I would say is, hey, take risks while you're young. You only live once. Go out and do what God's called you to do. Listen, you have more energy. You have more influence when you're young. While you're young, you start your careers. You find love in your spouse. You find out what true unconditional love looks like when you start having babies, start having children. Listen, young people, these are some of the greatest days of your life. And in the midst of enjoying the greatest days of your life, in the midst of just being full of energy, full of life, don't forget your Creator. Don't forget the one that gave you the gifts and the talents to start the career that you're in. Don't forget the one that gave you the air that fills your lungs, that calls you to breathe, to walk on this earth. Don't forget the one that gives you the energy to do the things that He's called you to do, or the things that you do already. Don't forget the one that everything that you have today came from Him. It's not something you did on your own. It all came from God. He's the one that gave you the ability to get to where you are today. Don't forget about it. Those that's graduating, who gave you the ability to think, who gave you the ability to work and to study hard? God. Don't forget your Creator. Don't get prideful. Don't get cocky. Don't get to the place where you think, I got this. Remember your Creator. Listen, all those things about careers and spouses, babies, those things are great. But the only thing that really matters is in your life is that when Jesus, when God, when your Creator is the center of your life, when He is the center of all those things, that's where you discover purpose. That's where you discover ultimate satisfaction. That's where God wants you to be. That's why Solomon, the wisest, how many times can I say it? The wisest man on earth that we can learn from at the end of his age. He could have told us a jillion different things, but in simple terms, he says, young people, have fun, enjoy life, but don't you forget your Creator. Don't forget Him. Because right now is the time that you can do things that you can't do when you get older. Listen, I think about the influence that you have, your generation. You know, I think about when I go to like the college football games. I don't know if you realize this or not, but it's always the student section that starts the wave. You know what I'm saying? Like there's these two guys that's been dreaming all night, two or three guys have been dreaming all night, and their whole dream is like, how in the world do I get 100,000 people moving at my command? And so with a little bit of tenacity, with a little bit of dreaming, with a little bit of alcohol, they turn around to everybody behind them. It's the truth. I'm just saying what you can't say that in church. I just did because it's tomorrow. Listen, they turn around and they look at all the people behind them and they say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand up. We're going to wave our hands and we're going to get 100,000 people doing the wave. And I need your help. I don't know who you are. I know I look like an idiot, but I've got influence and my influence is just to get five of you to buy in, because if five of you buy in, 15 buy in, if 15 buy in, 20 buy in, if 20 buy in, 100 buy in, if 100 buy in, 1,000 buy in, and before you know it, 100,000 buy in, and whoa, who cares about the game? We're going to get up, whoa! And so all of us are influenced by a couple of crazy students who's just dumb enough to believe that I can get 100,000 people to stand on their feet and sit back down. Hey, it's the truth. And here's the big picture, students. Not only do you have the opportunity to get a little crazy with your influence to start the wave, but you got a little influence to start a wave in your generation of salvation and life change. And you can bring revival and you can do things that are already here and expand on it in the area of what God's doing. If you just get a little crazy for Jesus, if you get to this place in your life to where, you know what, I think in my life, I want to do something that's influential for the kingdom of God. And if it takes five people, maybe that five people will turn into 10 people. And if that 10 people will turn into 50 people, and that 50 people turn into about 200 people. And the next thing you know, we start something that's bigger than us. It's people that's got a desire to actually allow their life to matter, to count. Listen, students, with your youth and your energy and your passion and your influence, you have an opportunity to lead your generation that is seeking pleasure in the wrong places. You have an opportunity in your generation to lead your generation and our generation to the streams of living water. Student, God is, listen, students in the house, younger generation in the house. God has not called you to waste your life on dreams. He is on your dreams. He has called you to engulf your life into His dreams. God's dreams change the world. Your dreams builds big houses and drives nice cars. Your dreams burn up one day. By the way, even living out God's dreams, He can still allow you to drive nice cars, but remember, Jesus has got to be the center of it. You got to enjoy. See, your dreams, if you just live out the American dream, I want to live out the American dream, and it's amazing how many parents are pushing their kids to live out the American dream more than the kingdom dream, more than the eternal dream. And parents, that's not good of us to do that. The American dream will burn up one day, but God's dream lives for eternity. It's something that lives forever. And if we can teach our students, moms and dads, grandmamas and grandpapas, to live out God's dreams, we could do something with the next generation. Students, have a passion to live out God's dreams. Remember your Creator in your youth. God's dreams last for eternity. The American dream lasts for this lifetime and it's gone. It means nothing. Live out who God's called you to be. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your life, but put God at the center of it and change the world for Jesus. Lead your generation. Lead your generation for Jesus. Now let's go on in the text. Listen to what it says in the text. Let me just bless all the senior adults in the house right here. This is going to be fun. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He's talking to the younger generation, but he describes all the old people in the house. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 2 through 8. It's amazing how often he says, remember him before. Remember him, talking about God. Remember him. Young people, he's talking to young people. Remember him before the light of the sun and moon and stars is dim to your old eyes. Remember him before, in other words, your eyes get bad, because that's what happens when you get old. Me and my wife both just got back from the eye doctor and we both had to get our prescriptions changed. It's not good when you got to read a book out here like this right here. You got to pull your head back. Like my neck does not stretch that far. And so I had to get my prescription changed, which means my eyes are getting really bad. My wife has got big old Coke bottle reading glasses that she has to read with. All right, like Leah, your eyes look this big. It's because my eyes are bad. All right, that's what happens when you start getting older. Is your eyes start going bad. I don't know what those cats did back in Solomon's day. I mean, I have no clue what they looked through there to see, but apparently they just had to deal with it. He goes on to say, remember him before rain clouds continually darken your sky. In other words, start getting to a place to where life really isn't as pleasant anymore. Remember him before, students, remember him before. While you're young, remember him before your legs, the guards of your house start to tremble. So in other words, what he's saying is that when you get old, your legs start shaking a little bit, all right? Your guards to your house. In other words, life alert, somebody help me. I've fallen and I can't get up because my guards have crashed and burned. That's not good. And so your guards hold up your torso and the rest of your body. But when they start trembling, and it goes on to say, remember him before your shoulders, the strong men. He called the shoulders strong men. They start to stoop. And so you walking around like you old and like jello. And I don't know. Listen, I'm about to start dancing up here. You're about to get me doing the moonwalk. I don't know what I'm going to do. But here's the big picture. Is remember him before your shoulders start to stoop, your legs start to shake. He says, remember him. Oh, this is good. Before your teeth, your few remaining servants. All right. My servant, choose my food for me. Thank you, brother. Cut that up for me right there. Listen. Before your few remaining servants, stop grinding. In other words, before you have to start gumming your food, eating soft stuff.
Give me some of that pudding, please.
Listen. He said basically, before your teeth fall out. Now, there are some young people whose service have fell out also. Don't do drugs, kids. Listen. I probably should have said that day. That didn't sound right. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. Listen. Stop grinding before your eyes. You know, my grandmother back in the day, I can remember her when I was a little kid at her house in Eastlake. She would stand over her old, big, gigantic sink, and she would take her teeth out. Literally, like pull them out, put them under the sink, get a toothbrush and put Comet. She put Comet, stuff you clean your toilet bowl with. She put Comet on a toothbrush and brushed her teeth with it. I'm like, Granny, your breath smells like a toilet. That's not good. She literally would brush her teeth. I mean, like, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for today's, like, I don't want to brush my teeth like with Comet or Polident or anything else. But if you want some service, sometimes you got to do that, all right? And so you can see that basically he said, before your teeth start falling out, says the women look through the window seeing dimly. Says, remember him before the doors to life opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. Remember him before you retire. Remember him before the doors of life opportunities close. In other words, hey, dream big. Keep dreaming. Because there's going to come a day, and I'm not trying to be depressed or anything, there's going to come a day that there's a lot of things that you dream about that won't be able to happen the older you get. And so I would say, before life's opportunities close, dream big. Dream God dreams. God dreams will always be bigger than you, students. That's how you know it's a God dream. It's bigger than you. You can't do it, but God can. So dream big, because one day it will stop. And let me talk to all the older folks in the house, including myself. Listen, I would challenge you. I would challenge you. Like, a lot of us, our dreams have kind of faded a little bit. Well, can I tell you what your new dream needs to be? This is how you know people who are older in age walk with Jesus. Is that when we get older, our dreams should be that we make the younger generation's dreams come true. Come on, girl, I see you. Listen, I think we should be doing everything we can to help the younger generation live out Jesus as hard as they can. And we have to do everything we can to make their dreams come alive. That's what I love about our church. Listen, when you give to the College Lane in our Heart for the House stuff, it helps a lot of these students who are going through our college right now. It helps them pursue their dreams, the God dreams that's inside of them. It's large. And I tell you what's fun for me is I just had a dream of doing a school one time and one day a long time ago, and God allowed it to happen, and now I get to see my dream come alive. But my dream is to watch their dreams come alive. That's my passion. And that passion will be gone one day, but these guys continue to live it on. And so can you. Our passion should be to help make the younger generation's dreams come true. Some way, form, or fashion. Work hard at it. Teach them wisdom, wise things. He says, remember him before the doors to life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. Now you rise at the first chirping of the birds. Listen, you got a little mockingbird outside. Listen, it's amazing how today, like back whenever I was a kid, you could set off World War III around the house and you could fly jets through the house and I'm sleeping straight through it. But today, you get a little bird like pecking on a tree, or you get a little bird tweeting, like, oh, I'm awake. Oh, what's up? How you doing? Listen, it's basically talking about the older you get, the easier it is to wake up. You don't sleep as good. It says, then all their sounds will grow faint. Remember him before you become fearful of falling and worrying about danger in the streets, before your hair turns white like an almond tree in bloom. It's so funny that that's the only way that Solomon could describe what white hair looks like. An almond tree in bloom. Oh, girl, your hair looking good like an almond tree in bloom. That looks great. And you drag along without energy like a dying grasshopper. I don't know what that is, like you should dump. I have no clue what that is. I take Spark for that, 5-hour energy drink, and testosterone medicine. It helps a lot. Listen, I'm so glad y'all laughed at that, because that's just over the line, and it's good. I like being over. Now, this next one's really over the line, and I'm not even going to go there, all right? Because I had people come up and ask me afterwards, and so I just like, I better not go there. But I'll read it, but you'll have to use your imagination, not an imagination. You'll just have to learn for yourself. It says, and the capybara no longer inspires sexual desire, all right? And so if you want to know what a capybara is, just go look it up. We'll talk about it another day. I wish I could talk about the Bible, but I can't in the South because people really get offended. I can't believe he said that. So anyway, I should just go ahead and tell you. And y'all were really like, don't do it, don't do it. And I'm not, I'm moving on. Remember him before you near the grave, your everlasting home, when the mourners will weep at your funeral. Yes, remember your creator now, young people. Remember your creator now. Young people, in the excitement of youth, remember your creator now. Remember your creator now. Remember your creator now. While you are young. Before the silver cord, I think this is where he gets to the innards. He gets to the guts. This is talking about the kidneys and the heart and the lungs. Before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken, don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well, for then the dust will return to the earth and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. He's basically saying, outside of God, that's why you should remember your creator. Outside of God, everything else is meaningless. You know, reading this, just talking about remembering him, remember him. You know, most people don't really start living and loving Jesus or for Jesus until they're older in years. Because they forgot him in their youth and lived it out for themselves, but all of a sudden they begin to realize the brevity of life. And they begin to see that, honestly, I've done everything under the sun and nothing in this world really matters. And then all of a sudden they really start living out Jesus. So what I'm trying to challenge the young people in the house is don't be like some of us and wait till your later years in life to start living out Jesus. Be who God's called you to be today. Leave him out. Listen, if you're here today and I'm 46, I'd consider myself old. Some of y'all are like, man, you a baby. Well, I thank you, it makes me feel warm inside, but I have to wear road in and fields every day. Listen, if you're here today and you're older in life and you're not living for Jesus, start now. Live for Jesus. Now listen, when I say live for Jesus, especially the younger generation, I need you to hear me. I think we got this thing messed up. I think people got this mindset. I may be completely wrong about this, but I think a lot of people got this wrong mindset about what it means to live for Jesus. You know, when you got down there, you pray, like, live for Jesus, like, just go change the world, turn your schools upside down, you know. Well, that sounds great and everything, but a lot of times what people think, or like, go turn your businesses upside down, whatever. A lot of people think, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to call myself a Christian. I'm going to be a little bit more moral than everybody else. I'm going to pray for my lunch and my dinner, and I'm going to choose kindness. I'm going to try to be kinder than other people. I'm going to try to forgive some people. I'm just going to go out and give this thing a try. That's not what I'm talking about when I say live for Jesus. Can I be honest with you? If that's what living for Jesus is, there's a lot of lost people that live that better than Christians do a lot of times. Lost people can do that. People that don't know Jesus. Now listen, what I'm about to say is going to sound very simple, but it's not easy because it's a journey. But living for Jesus is having a relationship with God through Jesus. It's a relationship. It's learning how to walk in the Spirit. It's learning how to get to know your Creator. It's learning how to connect with God. You connect with Him through the Word of God. You connect with Him through prayer. You connect with Him. And you're walking with Him. Now, I know that sounds easy to a lot of you, but it really is. It's a journey. I've been into this thing 24 years or so. I'm still learning. I got a long ways to go. The more I walk with Him, the more I realize I got a long ways to go. And here's what happens. Instead of going out and just, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to give it my best shot. You're going to burn out. You'll never make it. It ain't going to happen. That's probably why a lot of you have kind of quit doing this Jesus thing anyway, because you just kept giving it a shot. I'm going to give it a try. When in reality, it's not what God's asking for. He just wants you and Him to have this one-on-one personal relationship so He can pour into you. And here's what happens. When you start learning who God is and you start connecting with God and you fall deeply in love with Jesus, you just fall deeply in love with Him. All this trying hard, honestly, you don't have to try hard anymore. Why? Because it just comes natural. Jesus should come natural. It shouldn't be forced. And so many times we try to force it. It just comes natural. Enjoy Him. Walk in the Spirit. I said this last service. I said this on a Wednesday. I might have said it already here. If I did, just forgive me. I had a guy tell me the other day. He said, you know, when you think about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, he said, when you think about those things, he says, that fruit's not for you. That fruit's for others to pick off you, pick off your tree. That fruit's for other people. And he said, a lot of times our fruit's so high that people can't reach it. He said, so my prayer has been that my limbs on my tree that carry the fruit of God would be so heavy that they lay down on the ground that people can easily access the fruit that God's placed in my life and they can just pick it off one at a time so that the Jesus in me can feed other people. Students, adults, that needs to be our prayer. That I just walk with Jesus and fall so madly in love with him that it just comes natural and that my fruit branches are laying on the ground that people can just see the Jesus in us. And not mean, not ugly, but the patient, the loving, the kind, the gentle Jesus. And pick the fruit and eat. That should be our prayer because that's who he is. Don't live in days of regret. While you're young, use your passion and energy and drive for Jesus wherever he places you in life. Whatever influence God has given you, use that platform to give people Jesus. Whatever strength in your physical body God has given you in your youth, use it for Jesus. You have an opportunity that a lot of us have missed out on, and now many of us are trying to teach you from our mistakes. Go and live out Jesus, because really, that's all that matters. All that matters is Jesus. What Solomon was saying as the wisest man on earth at the end of his life was, I have had everything under the sun that anyone could ever want. I've had things that most people dream of. I've had power that many would love to have. My wealth has exceeded everyone who has gone before me. And at the end of all of my life, all that stuff does not matter. The only thing that matters is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, is to fear God and obey his commandments. The only thing that matters is to remember your Creator in your youth and to live your life with purpose. You could be the greatest football player, the greatest cheerleader, the greatest trombone player, the greatest mathematician. You could be great, but if Jesus is not the center of it, all you're going to do is be buried with it. But if you do with Jesus at the center of it, you'll take it to eternity with you, with a whole lot of other people with you. Jesus has got to be the center of everything. 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 So students, go change the world. Hey students, why don't you help lead us adults? I love it when I have students come up to me or parents come up to me and tell me, hey, I started coming to this church and got my life right with God because my students started first. Here, almost every single week. By the way, that's an answered prayer because we believe if we reach the students, we reach the parents. It's kind of backwards from back in the day. Back in the day, it's reach the parents, reach the kids. Today, it's reach the kids, reach the parents. Hey, lead for Jesus. Go make the name of Jesus famous. Go make the name of Jesus famous. If you're here today and you say, man, I've messed up way too much in my life, I can't do that, then you need to understand the beauty of the good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ died so that you can have life. No matter what you've done in your past, it's forgiven when you give your life to Christ. He covers it with his blood, past, present, and future. He wants to set you free from the things that's holding you back and keeping you in bondage from being who God's called you to be. God's madly in love with you and wants to use you in large ways. And you cannot be used if you sit in a prison of bondage on a regular basis and not tapping into who God's called you to be. So tap into Jesus, change the world, and lead for the kingdom of God so that God can use you for his glory and for his honor. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We honor you. We praise you. And we thank you, Jesus, for you. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your name is above all names. Father, there are people in this room who have never given their life to you. There are people in this room who have never given their life to you. And Father, I ask in Jesus' name that today, if they do not have a relationship with you, that they will have one today. That they will start one today. Do something special, God. Do something special in the lives of the people in this room. Hey, if you're here today with nobody looking around, Man, it would be an honor. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, it would be an honor if I could introduce you to Jesus. If you're here today and you say, Andy, I don't have a relationship with God. Man, I would love to have a relationship with God. Can I help you meet him? I would love to do that. Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. But just so I know I have somebody here who wants to start a relationship with God, all I'm going to do is this. I'm going to count to three, and then I just want you to raise your hand. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to raise your hand and put it right back down just so I know I have somebody here today. So if you're here and you want to have a relationship with God, I'm going to count to three, and you put your hand up. So here we go, all right? One, two, three. Put your hand up, put it right back down. Put your hand up, put it right back down. Come on. Come on. I see you. Come on. Come on. Listen. For those that raised their hand, and maybe for the ones that didn't, the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, to confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth. Maybe you're online watching. This is how you give your life to Christ. Confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth. Believe that he was buried. Believe that he rose from the grave. Listen, the whole purpose of Romans 10, 9 and 10, to confess Jesus as Lord. In other words, I don't want to be Lord of my life any longer. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. You also believe that Jesus died on the cross. Now, he took your sin for you. He paid the penalty of sin through his blood. And so basically, you put your trust and your faith in what God did for us. He paid the penalty of our sin. He took on the wrath of God that we deserve. The Bible says that he was buried for 3 days and that he rose from the grave. And that today, May the 20th, 2018, Jesus Christ is alive and he is well today with your best interest out. Why? Because he's in love with you. He's in love with you. So why don't you give your life to him today? You say, how do I do that? Well, I think the best way to start is we need to talk to him. The Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth. So why don't we talk to him right now? You can repeat after me, or you can say your own prayer. It's really a heart thing. Listen, you don't put your trust in a prayer. You put your trust in the person of the prayer. So why don't we do that right now? Say, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. I turn from my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for dying on the cross, paying for my sin, taking the wrath of God that I deserve. Thank you, Jesus, that you were buried. Thank you, Jesus, that you're alive and well today because you rose from the grave 2,000 years ago. Thank you, Jesus, for pursuing me. Jesus, I give you my life. It's yours. You can have it. Listen, if you're here today and you just prayed to receive Christ and you just started a relationship with Jesus Christ, can we celebrate with them, Desperation Church? Come on, we're excited for you. We're pumped for you. It's a big step. It's gigantic. And here's what we believe. We believe your next steps are massive. It's a journey with God. It's an adventure with God. And so your next steps are gigantic. And so what we've learned is one of the best ways to do that, to help you with your next steps. We want to help you with your next steps because we believe they're gigantic. And we've learned that we feel like this is one of the best ways to do it. Here's what we want you to do. We want you to text DC1. Text DC1 to the number you see on your screen. Text DC1 to the number you see on your screen. And let us help you. You'll have some things pop up that congratulate you, and then we're going to help you with some steps. We're going to start the process of giving you the steps to your journey with God, okay? So why don't you let us do that, help you out? Hey, if you're here today and you say, Andy, I just love some prayer, man. Would you pray for me? Hey, if that's you, would you just throw your hands up? Are you here today all over the house? Father, you know what's going on in each person's life. God, I ask in Jesus' name that we would live you out. God, I ask in Jesus' name that we discover the beauty of who God is. God, I pray in Jesus' name we discover the beauty of the good news. God, I pray that, Father, you'd meet people where they are, that you would set people free, that, God, you'd help us to walk out of bondage. God, I ask for those in this room who's going through difficult times that you would use it to refine them to become more like you. But, God, you would walk with them right in the middle of it. You'd give them a peace that surpasses all understanding to let them know that you're with them. Father, we glorify you, honor you, and thank you, Jesus, in your precious and holy name.
Amen, amen. Can we just take one last time and celebrate Jesus this morning and all that he's done?